Good for you. And rightly so. That's great. Glad you're there.
We're looking for a new superintendent. From the Pete Greenies, the interim. If he's retired in the interim.
Pete Greenies, the interim?
Yes, but the his term is only for 2 years.
I know him. He's wonderful.
Can you move the same? Unclaimed property.
Emphasizing.
Mike is looking at it.
That's great. I'm glad Reggie's over there.
And he's got $2,800 living in his dream.
He did?
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, I like Pete a lot. He's done a great job. He'll only be 2 years. You know, when you retire, you can come back for 2 years as an interim.
Well, that's how that works.
Yeah.
You're on? Who?
Heather. I texted Heather and see if she was coming. No answer.
Good evening, everybody. Please stand for a salute to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Borough of Seabright in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act has provided adequate notice of time, date, and location of this meeting. The Asbury Park Press, the Link News on January 19, 2021, filed notice on the borough clerk, with the borough clerk, and posted notice in the borough office on the borough website. This meeting is open to the public. Everybody is welcome. We have the roll call, please.
Ms. Bills?
Present.
Mr. Cashmore?
Here.
Chairman Cunningham?
Here.
Ms. DiGiulio?
Here.
Vice Chairman DeSalle?
Here.
Ms. Gorman? Mayor Kelly? Councilman Lexstein?
Here.
Mr. Schwartz?
Thank you. On to the meeting minutes from 10-12-21. Discussion or...
So there's a bunch going on that day.
Still got to go through it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. On to new application from Scott Hall and Ingrid Mason Hall.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the Planning Board. My name is Brad Batcha. I'm the attorney for Scott and Ingrid Hall. I represented when they bought a home here last year, and now we're here tonight because they're seeking to renovate and raise the home in its existing location, and there are two bulk setback variances that are needed. So with me tonight, I have my client, Scott Hall, to my right, and we also have Ed O'Neill from Sun Architects who will explain the project to the board.
Just for purposes of the record, please note that we have reviewed the notice. The notice is deemed acceptable and the board can accept jurisdiction.
Thank you.
And we'll also note for the record that Heather Gorman's arrived.
Okay.
You have the floors.
Thank you, sir. I'd just like to introduce my client, Scott Hall, have him sworn in so he can just explain what his vision is for this project to the board.
Do you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth from this application site?
I do.
Can you please state your name and your address for the record?
Scott Bull. I currently live at 58 Pierpont Street, Brooklyn Heights. Brooklyn Heights, New York.
Thank you.
Yes, Scott, you can just explain to the board your...
Sure. So our plan is we have two young girls, a 5 and a 9-year-old. We actually, pre our marriage, used to come to Seabright, loved the town, and rented here. We're very lucky to purchase the house about a year ago. That house is in old shape, and we're really hopeful that we can remove the house, build it in its existing frame, which, and right, we'll explain more, and make it an enjoyable house for our family on the Seabright Shore.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hall. Next, I'd like to bring up our architect, Ed O'Neill, who I believe has testified before this board, but we'd like to have him qualified as an expert, both as an architect and a planner.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, how are you?
He's here to tell you the truth of first application, sir.
I will.
And can you please state the name and qualification of the record?
Edward W. O'Neill, Jr., SONE Architects, 65 Monmouth Street, Red Bank. I have licenses in both architecture and planning in New Jersey, and I carry bachelor's and master's degrees in both architecture and planning. And I'm currently and still the head of the architecture program at Cook Dead.
Testified before boards before?
Yes, and I have testified before this board, but it was a while ago.
Without any objection from the board, we'll accept your qualifications.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think in the project narrative, and if you don't mind, I'm going to see it. The idea is to basically construct a new house on the footprint of the old house using the old foundation. The problem with the house now is built in the 1940s, and it's in bad condition. It can't be occupied presently. Even if Ingrid and Scott were to renovate the building to make it livable, it'll exceed the 50% threshold of the assessed value of the building, and therefore have to be raised. So it's a foregone conclusion that the building has to be raised. It's my professional opinion that the addition of the building is such that if they raise it, I think it'll fall in. I think that, for instance, there's no sheathing on the house. You know, all those wood studs just have a siding nailed to them. It has no lateral stability. It's not in good shape. It's not in good shape at all. There's lots of the building is exposed to view when you go inside. So the thought was, well, if we use the existing footprint, it has a partial basement and crawl space. What we're proposing to do is to fill the basement so that it meets the flood area guidelines, raise the house up. I think it's about 4 feet. Use that as just crawl space. There wouldn't be anything down there. And then build a new two-story house on top of it with a small addition in the front, which is about 162 square feet, which would meet the setback of 25 feet. And to add this area here to the footprint, which would be the master bedroom, with a deck to create a carport, which would replace the existing detached garage, which is almost on the edge of the property line.
That'll be removed.
When you keep using the term raise, actually physically raise it or demolish it, raise it?
Both. Well, so we'll have to physically demolish it and then raise the foundation.
Okay, so you're taking the existing house down and you're demolishing it, not, okay, the raise has
been different. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Sorry for the confusion there.
You're going to reuse the existing foundation?
Yes. We've inspected it, we find the foundation is fine, but again, it'll have to be raised up because the floor of the house as it is below the flood line.
And the chair had a question about the garage, which exists sort of in the line that's going to be removed, correct?
Yes, the garage is removed. So underneath the deck in the back will be a carport for parking, as well as a space that's not under the carport.
Open sides?
With 15-foot setback. I'm sorry?
With open sides in front?
Yes. It'll be closed in the... Well, this is the side also, but it will be open to the rear and the front. So this is Ocean Avenue, and this is Willow Lake. Now, the problem we have from a planning standpoint is, if I look at that, the house, it presently is 2,430 square feet. The new house will be 3,530 square feet. Most of that square footage, additional about 1,100 square feet, of square footage is in the finished attic. So the finished attic here, will add to that square footage, but not to the overall bulk of the building. We meet the building coverage guidelines. It's 50% is required, 37% exists, 41% is proposed. So we're a little more than what's there, but we're 9% under.
Did you mean not to the overall footprint of the building or bulk of the building?
Both.
There's an existing home there, a full-size home that's there.
Right, so I'm comparing there. I'm comparing old to new.
We're not seeking any height variances. It's very similar in size and shape to what's existing. Is that fair?
Yes, and actually, we reduced the lot coverage by 3% with this.
On the subject of height variances, you have a narrow lot. It's supposed to be reduced by a certain percentage. I understand the maximum height allowable is 33 feet. You put it as 35.
Well, that was the original application, but Ed can speak to it. The plans will revise, so they now adhere to the lot, the height requirement.
Yes, we've removed that by changing the pitch of the roof slightly so that we will meet the requirement for height. So we don't seek a height variance. So the variances we seek are for two setbacks.
Which presently exist in
right.
Today's
so if we're using the existing foundation, those two foundations violate the setbacks. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a kind of a crazy looking board here, which is this one. And that's the property with nothing on it. So if you take...
Do
you
want is there any other that say we need to mark that? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. We didn't really reference your little house there, but we may have to mark that as well. You can mark that as Exhibit A1, if you will, please.
A1.
And can you describe exactly, give me the...
It's a site analysis diagram.
Is there a date on it?
The date is 7/15/21.
7/15, I'm sorry.
21.
And you prepared that?
I'm sorry?
You prepared that?
Yes, we did.
Awesome, thank you.
And what that shows is this is the property outlined in the kind of bluish line. And if you take the setbacks, which are 8 feet from the sideline, 25 feet from the front, 15 feet from the back, and because it's on a corner, the interpretation is it has two front yards. So if you take a 25-foot setback from Willow Way, the buildable area is 77 feet by 2 feet. So the hardship is based on planning law, the hardship is that because of reason of an exceptionally narrow lot, even though the lot is large enough for the zone, the property is rendered unbuildable because of those regulations. And then further, if you look at the area around the building, and you look at some of the other houses that are on the corner, nobody's that far. But if you would mind.
I'm going to submit those.
We're going to see.
No, this
we're
is a as
well.
Yeah.
You can do it A2, and then how many photos are there?
Well, I had one for everybody. I made 15.
Oh, okay. All right.
I wasn't sure how many feet. So one photo.
One photo.
That
okay.
Be
okay.
This one will be in the
memo
handy.
And can you describe the photo?
And what it is, it's simply a Google map, a portion of Google map around the existing property, and they say the two or three blocks to the north and south, which I felt was a large enough capture area to show what the existing corner lots and how they were developed. And frankly, none of them have a 25-foot setback. They're all regular setbacks, 74, that sort of thing. They're not.
They're more than 25.
Oh, no, they're less than 25. Nobody's at 25. The houses are much closer to the street than that.
On what? On the side of the house, which would be a front yard and...
Right, because on a corner, it's two fronts.
Like off of Ocean Avenue, you're more than 20, you're 25.
Yes. Yes, this is the Willow Way setback. That's the issue. So,
it's consistent with the neighborhood.
The argument is, if you start talking about positive and negative criteria, it's consistent with the neighborhood as one of the measures of justifying the variance. Let's see.
I assume that's what you were talking about.
Yeah. Cutting to the chase. There's another variance justification, which is by reason of extraordinary and exceptional situation, uniquely affecting a specific piece of property that the variance is justified, and one would be the Seabright's interpretation of the corner lot, which obviously at one time was not that interpretation, and the whole neighborhood was built that way. So there's a new interpretation, and that interpretation again renders the project or any project on the site unbuildable. So those are two reasons that are justifications for granting variance. If you look at the positive criteria of granting the variances, you're upgrading a dilapidated structure, period. And that makes the neighborhood better. There's a reduction block coverage, it is small, but there is a reduction. And you're removing an attached garage, which is very, very close to the rear and side property. The negative criteria, we have two pre-existing setback variances, and we conform with all the other zoning standards, and therefore, my opinion is the proposal is in keeping with the standards of the zoning plan.
What is the height of the house?
33.
It's 33?
Yeah.
Because your plans still say 35.
Well, that's what was submitted within the 10-day window.
Okay. So you're going to revise the plans to
yes.
get to 33?
Yes, and we can supply that to the board immediately. Well,
so that would be a condition of approval that the plans are revised?
What other variances are you going to need? Take them all?
No. It's this variance because of this setback.
Which is existing.
And this one, which is also existing. Because if you...
So you're just expanding a non-conforming use then?
Yeah, to
me. And you also know that you plan on parking a car in the backyard?
Yes.
You're not allowed to park cars in setbacks?
Well, there's room for two cars underneath the deck without the setback. There is room under here for two cars.
I only saw one on the plan.
Right. That's all we should have.
But not, not side by side?
Yes, one here and one here.
Okay.
It's over 22 feet.
Okay.
So a parking space is 9 feet. Feet what?
9 by 18.
Yeah, this is more than, this is 22 feet.
So two cars can fit on the overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And the entrance is from Ocean Avenue.
No, the entrance is from Willow Run.
Willow Run, okay.
Just yeah, there's no, there's no entrance to Willow Run.
The plan shows a deck.
In the yes, car. That's what this is here.
So that car would be underneath that deck?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Can you see this model already built over here? You want us to bring that over?
No, I can see it.
It's easy to conceptualize.
The plan's a little deceiving because you showed a car in the setback, and then you showed one underneath, and then a deck in place where the second one was.
The mistake was putting the car in the setback. The car should be underneath the deck.
And it'll fit under the deck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So, again, to the negative criteria, we will also adhere to the flood zone regulations, which is a positive. And, again, we talked about the neighborhood and the fact that it would be consistent with the other houses in the neighborhood. And I think that's, I mean, I can go through what's in the floor plan if you'd like, but I'm not sure whether that's germane to the conversation, but I've been wanting to have it here, but kind of up to you.
The other issue is in this town is very nervous about putting your utilities in the setback, your air conditioning systems and such.
No, that was not.
They have to testify that they will not.
They will not.
It's not marking the plans.
See, the plans are, I'm sorry, going to Dave's point before, the plans are a little bit confusing because, and you said originally, that only one car was going to be underneath the deck and the other one was going to park on the outside of it when you initially testified.
Then that was a mistake on my part.
Yeah, and that's how it's shown on the plans, though.
Right. No,
it's shown on the plans as only one car being underneath the deck.
No, but again, if you go to the floor plan, and it's not shown that way, but these two cars will fit in this space.
If you look at your south elevation in the picture, it doesn't look like a car fit underneath that deck.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it to me either. It looks like it's a really, really tight fit.
We're just going to reference the floor plan as A3, just for purposes of identification.
Dave, do you have these plans?
I haven't heard of these. I did not review them.
I understand.
I have a copy here. Yeah.
But does that, to me, it doesn't, I mean, I agree with Dave to say
well, it's a representation of a car. Can you tell us what the inside dimension is from the post?
Dave, go to the south elevation. Go to the next page. C200.
Right. It shows it filling the space.
Yeah, you can't fit a car in that. Can you look at that?
I don't know how you're fitting the second car in there without hitting the side of the deck.
The deck is up in the air.
But the pillars are down.
Well, yeah, no, here, but this distance,
I think. Yeah, this is a visual.
Again, it's a visual, so let's see what the distance actually is.
The roof of the car is on the
scale I have, so it's doing something, I'm not sure what.
The south elevation shows.
table. Do you think the width is fine, that it can fit two cars easily?
It's up 19 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, we tested how it.
Well, the car distance from there to the deck is 16 feet.
So the width from east to west would be 18 feet, 16 feet?
Yes, to the deck. The deck is down.
Which would be like 2 8-foot spaces.
Right.
It's tight, but we could, it's not our ordinance.
The plan shows the whole section all the way up to the house. Underneath the deck is 19.
Yeah, right
here. How can that be 18 to the deck? Impossible.
So maybe there's the post?
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, you might be able, as Dave Roder says, you might be able to fit two cars underneath there if you really squeeze them in, but no one's going to do that.
Okay.
So let's try to operate in reality, and they're going to park exactly where you have them, because that would make sense.
Right. We can adjust the entry deck to make the two spaces work.
I personally don't even care.
So you have to go further into the setback to do it.
Yeah. No, we'll make the deck small. The deck down here, not the lower deck.
The lower deck, not the upper deck.
Right, the lower deck, which is the way you get, because remember the house is up in the air. So it's not in that great entrance.
If you look at your first floor plan, mm-hmm. the dimension in the back of the garage
right.
shows 19 feet total distance.
Right.
How can it be, if you reduce,
well, that's why I'm trying to scale it with
if you reduce the deck by 5 or 6 feet.
You'd have to effectively bring it online.
Well, the deck was 3 feet, which is a walkable deck, then you'd be.
Well, what's the deck's how long?
Why long? Well, right now it's 5 feet. If we reduce it to 3 feet.
So 3 from 19 is
16.
That's not legal parking space.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a municipal parking space as opposed to a residential.
Can you make it 8 feet wide times two?
I think so.
I mean, I'm sorry, 9 feet wide times two?
I think
18.
I think we can.
It will just be an adjustment. That would give you the width, Dave. 9 times 2 is 18.
Or you ask for a parking and a setback.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, Mr. Lexley said you can't park in this business.
Setback.
Well, I didn't say they can do that, but
no,
I wasn't. Yeah, honestly, I wasn't. And I personally, I don't really have a problem with that. But,
no, I don't. But the plans have to be accurate.
Yes, no, that's my concern.
If you're going to park in a setback, then ask for a variance for parking in the
setback. That would be our
preference.
That would be our preference.
He just suggested that would be your preference.
Right, and that's what the reality. What the, I don't have an issue with it either. It's just that's what the reality is going to be. That's where they're going to park.
And never be part of
right,
it.
Right. So we just give them the variance right now and be done with it, rather than have someone complain later that they didn't.
And that would be our preference. Our preference would be to
Mark, I think that providing that second space, doing whatever alterations have to be done with the deck, either by width or height, to provide two spaces under the house and be conforming, they can still ask for parking with a setback, but they would need two spaces under the house, and then realistically someone's going to park in that other space anyway.
We're not going to get two spaces underneath the house.
You can't make architectural adjustments to get two spaces under the house.
But they have to require two parking spaces, so if they give a variance for the second one, that solves the problem. But I've lived in Seagrad long enough to know that parking is a serious situation. You want every space you can find.
Agreed. So,
I mean, I think we would make the modifications. The way he presented it was two cars and one going under the deck, so you have that space there, so that we wouldn't be using that area. But it does look like the deck needs to come in.
Yeah, so really, just the deck should be allow two cars then.
And you think you can do that comfortably?
Yeah.
I already tell you my opinion. I don't think it's necessary. But if you think you can, what do you all think? Do you all care? I got the impression you don't care.
I don't.
There's a garage there.
There is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
There. Why wouldn't you be prepared and have that extra space and ask for the variance? When the nine-year-old.
My wife would be
able to do that.
He said that was their preference.
But
Is that required to renotice for that, or can the...
No, you can amend it on the record. It doesn't specifically affect the application, and as part of your notice, as
you make sure
any other variance that
you
necessary.
What are we asking them to do? I mean, my feeling is that it can stay the way it is with only one car underneath the deck. And I don't care if the other car is parked outside the deck.
Just ask for a...
Just ask for a variance.
Right. Whatever they do with it is their decision.
Exactly.
That's fine. So we'd like to formally amend your plan to request a parking variance and a setback variance. As discussed.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't look at this application, but after they do the revisions, if it comes back to me, Monica can write the resolution. If it's got the three or four items that we're talking about tonight in it, I can just check it off and very quickly make sure that it's the right set of changes.
So we're allowing, so we're doing the for a variance to allow parking in the setback without modification.
That's correct.
We restrict that to the car or small sport utility. So the down road, they would sell a house and we use it for commercial vehicles or more.
So they can't park commercial vehicles there anyway.
That's under our code. You can't park commercial in the residential zone. Already in the record. It's illegal.
You and I have a little more idea.
Yes, I do. I'm not going to call it one
And that's the end of your testimony.
Is there anything else? Any other questions for our architect?
No, I suppose there's another question I can answer.
Any of the board members have a question of his testimony? Or?
No questions.
If not, is there anyone in the public that has a question about any of the testimony or of any of the witnesses? Yes, sir.
I do have a question. I'm actually here on another matter, but for the owner of Free Willow Way. Just across, did I hear you say that?
Sir, can you just state your name?
My name is David Janazza.
I'm sorry?
David Janazza.
Mr. Janazza, do you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth? How do you do that? Or for purposes of application, so mm-hmm. Can you just, once again, spell your last name for the record?
Janazzo.
And your address, please?
We live at 174 Ocean Avenue. We own a property at 3 Willow Way, which is just behind.
Behind
us. Did I hear you say the access would be through Willow Way?
Well, the driveway now is off of Willow Way.
The driveway is on Ocean Avenue.
No, it's on Willow Way. It's on Willow Way.
We're on the corner. You're on the corner. Okay, I got
so
it.
You're actually where the car's parked today.
I thought the corner house was coming in. Okay, got it. All right. Thank you.
Anyone else in the public?
Yeah.
Not public course is closed. Discussion from the board or a motion?
I'll make it. It's definitely an improvement from what's there. It makes sense. They can't improve what's already. They can't improve what's already there as testified to. So I make a motion to approve the application
with those changes.
With the change, with the extra variance that's being requested,
and also the height.
That's been changed in the plans to reflect the accurate height. So there'll be no variance for height. Correct. And they're not asking for one. It's just the plans reflect the wrong thing.
I'll second that.
Do a roll call, please.
Ms. Bills?
Yes.
Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Giulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeSeo?
Yes.
Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Councilman Lansing?
Yes.
That's it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very long. The fan application, 164 Ocean Avenue, Lot 33, Lot 20.01.
And Mr. Chairman, this stems from a use variance. I am not eligible to participate, so I will step down.
Thank you.
Just for purposes of the record, it's not a voluntary notice. The notice has been reviewed. The board can accept jurisdiction as a notice. I will need those plans.
Yeah, they have to stay.
Yeah, all those exhibits have to stay.
Okay.
You can take them off the poster board, though. We don't need the poster board.
Got it.
I don't think.
of sun, we actually walked through that house.
How are you? You now have the floor.
Good evening. My name is Richard Scarry from Hanlon, Lehman & Wright. I represent the applicant here, Teresa and Martin Fant. Before we begin our testimony, we have two witnesses, our architect, Kevin Franco, and the homeowner, Teresa Fant. I just wanted to present some brief history, which is a little unusual, the situation here.
Make sure our notices.
I did that, yeah, registered.
Oh, you did, okay. Thank you. Go right ahead, sir.
The application here is for amended site plan approval and the potential of bulk C variance on the property. The applicant was here before the board on February 13th, 2018. The applicant at that time sought approval for use variance and multiple bulk variances. There was a pre-existing non-conforming use of a two-family house. The applicant sought to extend the house. Because of that extension, it triggered the use variance and also triggered some bulk variances. We had testimony of the applicant of Captain Franco and James Higgins, the planner. That application was granted by this board. The resolution was memorialized on February 27, 2018. The neighboring property, the condo association, condo association filed an appeal at the Mount County Superior Court. The Mount County Superior Court upheld the board's decision granting the approval. Subsequently, Lands End filed an appeal with the appellate division. During the appellate division, the parties agreed in the settlement. And the settlement was to make some modifications to the site plan, which the my witness here, Ms. Franco, will list. Since the settlement with the appellate division changed some terms of the site plan, we were required to go back to this board and seek approval of the amended site plan based upon the original resolution. We're coming back to have some modifications. The modifications are actually smaller. They're slightly reducing the size, creating some non-transparent barriers for some privacy and a tree buffer. And that was to work out this case with the neighboring property, Lands End, and our applicant. So right now, unless the board has any questions, I'm ready to proceed with that testimony.
Mr. Fury, just for purposes of the board's understanding, as a part of the settlement agreement, you had to provide these plans to the Lands End Condo Association or Towns Association,
yes,
for review, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you had discussions with them, is that correct?
Yes.
And as part of the settlement agreement, there's language in here provided by the appellate division that after the review, that the association agrees not to object to any application for approval of the amended plan submitted by the applicants to the planning board. Is that also,
yes,
correct? So you feel that everything that you are coming forth to the board with is with the approval of these
absolutely plans. We submitted the plans to the Lands End Condo Association. The attorney was Steve Lennick, who we've all seen here today. We submitted that. We actually had to make a modification to it based upon that feedback. They approved that. There was a long wait because of COVID for other reasons, but that was approved by Lands End, and we also sent them a copy of this application too, so they were notified that there was no objection to the site plan to the terms of that. So
their concern was the back of the house, and you removed the deck in the back of the house,
yes,
and provided privacy back there. But
yes,
also in your resolution it states that you're going to have a 25-foot setback, and your plans don't indicate that. You needed a variance for that. You changed it.
Well, what happened is, that's correct. What happened is that the stairway was not enclosed. It was halfway enclosed. So therefore, no variance was required because it was only halfway enclosed. Since we extended the non-transparent material up to the top, that's considered an enclosed structure?
That's not true. I reviewed that plan. What was next to that was the living room. The living room was the deck. Now you enclosed that deck and made it the living room larger, and you put the new deck out in front of 8.5 feet. And then on the plan, you wrote the setback to be 18.4, and you're showing it to the inside of a beam. A beam, a vertical projection on any house is the setback line. I calculated you're moving the house up to 17 feet 3 inches from the front yard, which is not in compliance with our 25-foot setback.
Maybe if I can have Ms. Franco testify to that, to the plans, you will explain that better than me.
Let's go through the testimony, and then you can answer the questions. What the situation is.
Okay. Unless there are any more questions, I'm ready for it. Okay, I have Ms. Franco.
Ms. Franco, do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth for purposes of this application?
Yes.
Can you please state your name for the record and your professional qualifications?
Catherine Franco. I'm an architect and planner, but tonight I'm just testifying as the architect. My address is 150 Monmouth Avenue, Atlantic Highlands. I've been an architect licensed for 30 years. And I have testified in front of this board.
With that, any objection from board members? We'll accept your qualifications. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Ms. Franco, can you describe the proposed application today for the applicant, what the applicant is seeking?
Yes. What happened was we had to remove the decks in the rear, okay? And we had, without any decks, it's hard to have living space on those two floors. So what we did is we brought the deck across, like you said, in front of the stair, alongside the stair.
No, in front of the stairs. The stairs were behind.
Yes. Okay, so if you look at
the original drawing. Do you have the old plan?
I'm sorry?
You have the old plan.
Yeah, I have it right here. What I'm saying is you push that up the 8 feet, just like you said.
Yeah, but wasn't the staircase within that 8 feet before and the deck next to it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so you extended the house at 8 feet, and then you moved the staircase out 8 foot 4 inches with a new deck, which projects you inside the front yard setback.
Yeah.
So you're in violation of the setback requirements.
But that was in exchange for the rear deck.
It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with it.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We did notice for that box that variance approval as well for that.
You still have to maintain a 25-foot setback. You're reducing it.
We're requesting a variance.
We're requesting a variance.
Does the Land's End know about that?
Yeah, they have their plans.
Yes, it was. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that, based upon the settlement and those changes, that triggered it. It was in the notice, the bulk variance as well. And we had to explain this clearly. As the architect, but they did approve these plans as submitted, did realize that caused a bulk C variance, and they were notified that the plans that we have is the same plans that Land's End approved that conforms exactly with the settlement we held with.
Why did you need to extend the front of the house into a setback?
Because
there isn't a house. We just had testimony from the last presentation that there isn't a house on Ocean Avenue that's less than 25 feet from the street. Now you want to come out 7 to 17.
I agree with you. Okay.
You got relief on all the bulk variances on that property. You got relief for everything. And now you want more and more and more.
No, actually, we'd like to go back to the original, but Land's End doesn't want that.
But they don't have nothing to do with the front deck.
In a way, they do. Okay, they want a certain amount of no visual. Okay,
what does that have to do with the front deck?
Okay, I took away these people's back deck. Okay,
and you made their living room and their den bigger.
Their den, it was always the same. I have the doors and then I have the deck. Okay? What I did is I enclosed the deck and I added the 8 feet.
Yeah, to the deck, so you made the den bigger, which I don't care about either.
Okay, yes. The thing is, they need a deck, okay? When you live on the second or third floor, you need a deck.
Why do you need it?
Wouldn't you want a deck down there?
You don't need it, but I don't care about the back of the house. You made the den bigger, so you're not the side of the house.
Okay, let's do this. Why don't you just push the whole house?
You made the living room bigger, and you made the master bedroom bigger, and then stuck additional deck out into the setback in the front on Ocean Avenue. I think you're asking for too much.
Well, why do we need the house back? We don't have a problem with that.
You don't, you have to eliminate that back deck for land and purposes.
The reason they didn't want it was they didn't want noise and people partying out in the back.
We get all that. That has nothing to do with the front deck. That doesn't bother anyone, except it violates our front yard setback. And there isn't a house on Ocean Avenue that's less than 25 feet.
So why don't we move the house back?
And maybe you should come back.
That's for the board?
That's not before the board.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Again, I need to interject again. Just looking at the settlement agreement, the second part was incorporating any front decks or balconies before the roof deck. That was the agreement between the parties. That caused the setback in the front to go from 25 feet to 70 feet. Now, this worked before the board, and the board can deny that or grant that. But as operation of the settlement and the agreement between the parties, and trying to conform to the agreement, that triggered that variance. So we are seeking here today, in addition to amend the site plan for that relief. And that, I guess, would be up to the board.
For the front yard setback.
Well, just for purposes of, for the board, see this particular paragraph from the appellate division settlement agreement. So the applicant shall seek approval from the planning board for an amendment to the approval to permit the enlargement of the house based upon amended plans that eliminates the two rear exterior decks as shown on the original plans, or two, incorporate any front decks or balconies below the roof deck, three, incorporate Juliet balconies on the rear elevation of the house, changing the contour of the stairwell, thereby reducing the length of the area of the rear stairwell from the back of the house by 3 feet from the original plans. And there are a few more things with regard to trees. And
where's about the setbacks?
This is in the settlement agreement. This is the settlement. So you're going back to the setbacks, that's in the original agreement. But that's the settlement agreement from the settlement. So it was down on paragraph 3 for what they would have to seek approval for, based on modified terms.
Just because Land's End says something doesn't mean we have to approve it.
I agree with that. It's the worst prerogative. That's why we noticed that, and that's why we're here. So let's just continue with the testimony, and let's just go specifically. You know, we talked about it. What were the modifications from the appellate division? If we can go with each one that Land's End agreed to, the modification from the original amended site plan.
The first one was the eliminating the rear decks, which we did. And then we also turned the stairs 90 degrees to be flat against the building. And then create Juliet balconies, which means there's just a door at the end of the wall. Okay. Those are the ones in the back. And then adding a landscape buffer. Then enclosing the stair in the front, okay? They wanted it enclosed so you couldn't see the stairs. And that's what we did.
Okay. And just to clarify, and because of these changes to the plans that were agreed to by the parties in the settlement agreement, that triggered a front yard setback variance, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and I know we've had some discussion about that, but let me explain for the record specifically how the trigger the variance and why we would seek this variance for the front yard setback.
Okay. What happened was we needed the deck. Clients need a deck for husband is handicapped. He needs to get on the deck. okay? So I put the stair there, the stair had to be enclosed. So whether or not we have that balcony, I still have to enclose that stair, according to Land's End. And that's what triggered this whole permit.
And the original application we submitted with the plans, that did not have that, that front yard setback, correct?
No.
And was that because the decks were in the back?
Yes. The decks were in the back, and the stair didn't have to be enclosed. You know, have you seen the spiral stairs that go all the way up? Open. Now they, we have to enclose it.
Besides those, were there any other conditions from the previous application that we changed for this amendment site plan?
The landscaping, the decks, the stair, and the Julia balconies.
How many square feet did you add to the house? Living space.
Let's see if I go eight by.
If you look at the two plans, you see the.
That's just coverage.
You made both master bedrooms on each floor larger, both living rooms on each floor larger, and each den on each floor larger.
Well, if I had the space, I was going to adjust it. So, I mean, I could just leave it all as one, but I thought it better not. Let's see. No, because it's 8 by, approximately 8 by 24.
So you made the house approximately 200 square feet larger, 400 square feet larger, around 50.
Per floor, 200.
How much?
200 per floor.
Per
approximately.
Two floors, 400.
But if we're talking about setbacks, it only the 200.
Yeah, but I'm saying you also enlarged the house by 400 square feet. And move the house further forward into a front yard setback.
Okay.
I mean, maybe we should put a hotel on that property.
Why don't we just set it back?
Well, I don't know what the rest of the board thinks, but I'm not going to approve anything until we set back on Ocean Avenue. I have one of the closest houses to the street is 25 feet. That's going to look ridiculous, 17 feet from the street. And it's to the curb, not to the side. Ocean Avenue is measured from the curb. There's no 5 foot setback in there. So 17 feet off this curb, we're gonna have a 3-story house. It's bad enough that on the side, 4 feet from the curb, we're gonna have a 3-story house. I think we've gone over.
Thank you. You have additional testimony?
I have no more for Ms. Frank.
Well, what is your rear yard setback?
I'm sorry, see that again?
Yes.
We're way beyond the 7 feet.
Can you tell me what your rear yard setback is?
Nothing. Didn't mark it because we're not close to it. So we're allowed the 7. But we're
now,
way beyond the 7.
I'm looking for here, I'm not seeing it. Rear, it says NA, NA.
Yeah, it's not marked, but
I mean, the rear, I know the rear yard is a long way to the back, so there's a substantial amount of room here. But, and that was a variance we were not seeking in the beginning, but.
But if you move the house back 8 foot, would you be in violation of, Land's End agreement?
It,
the proposal is as it was close to, so, and I thought I'd give her the back and put up privacy.
Well, they got rid of the deck.
It was the deck.
But there's no deck back there, so we're moving it 8 foot back.
I mean, the only alternative...
And back was the problem then.
I mean, the only alternative, if the agreement between the parties was a problem, is to potentially work with Plans End and come to an agreement. I mean, the other application was approved, and I'm asking for amendment. I'm not sure if it reverts back into the other application, or if this agreement has created a problem with the front yard setback just by the way the parties negotiated. Hearing from the board, maybe this is something that we need to just discuss further and try to...
Just go back to the original plan. That's why.
Without
the decks.
They took away the decks. I hate to see the family gone through so much to rebuild one house.
The original was 25.6.
I understand, but if it's 25 foot, we're moving back 8 foot. It would be possible for us to approve the application based on that.
This was a court order renegotiation between them and the neighbor.
I understand.
If we decide to change that, that's you're going back to court. It's easy to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going back to court or if it's something to be handled outside the court.
This is going to legal arguments. I would think that the settlement is not complied by the appellate division, and would just go back to the appellate division.
It would be interesting, but you can certainly talk to Land's End about pulling it back without modifying the existing plans. You've already noticed for a variance, in the front yard setback, so there's the potential that it would be a problem. I don't know.
The big thing was the deck.
I'm talking about the current plans as they are. Because with the current plans as you have them, it could be pulled back. Is that what you're telling me?
Right.
So basically, it's taking the whole house and just as configured and moving it back.
Right, to conform to the front yard setback. So if you propose that and notice for it, perhaps that could be a potential settlement for you, because otherwise this is all going to fall apart and you're going to go back.
Right, and I think the option would just go back to the appellate division as a settlement hasn't been applied to it. Back in the appellate division and just, to be reopened.
Right.
So, and then that.
Why don't you just go back to the original plan of the front of the house?
Well, because they have to go back to
the appellate division. That changes the agreement.
So, unless they have consent.
Just say leave the front of the house the same. Just change the...
We could just say no, still. And then they would have to do...
So I have a question. They're trying to make the deck more because you can't have a back deck. And you want X amount of space for a deck. And the deck is pushed farther out to the street because you made the bedroom bigger and the den bigger. So now the
house... didn't make the deck bigger.
No.
The living room.
The inside of the house is bigger, right. More space, so now that makes the deck come out more to the street.
Right? Yes. I'm getting the feeling
so
that...
Why don't we just leave those rooms the same size?
We can. Get that. If that gets us through, we'll do it.
If you just remove the deck in the back, which was the agreement with Land's End, and leave the front of the house as it was, there's nothing to do, is it? Okay.
The
deck will still be on the front. He's just saying move it back.
You have decks in the front of the house, and it's a little smaller.
Yeah.
So you still have decks in the front, and you're 25 feet back from the street where you should be.
Obviously that can be done. I don't know if that would have to be noticed with an amended site, because we amended site.
Why don't we, if you pass a resolution based on they will check that it's done.
The plans have to be submitted to Land's End, and if you're revising everything, you're going to need some kind of consent, I would assume, to come back. Would you like to at this time?
They would have to come back to us.
They'd have to come back to, exactly. And that's, right. So do you want to adjourn it? So there's no further notice, and you always have the option to re-notice if things change or your discussions fall apart, or you have to, add something else.
I mean, since it's just saying amend the site plan, I would think if we just announce notice for the next meeting,
yeah,
we wouldn't have to re-notice, and we could just announce it for the next meeting, and then, or whenever meeting that is, we would have to update our plans.
Correct, and that's what I'm saying. We can certainly carry you, no further notice, but if something happens, you know, where you're asking for more than what was, you know, in our current notice, or things change, you can always have the option of re-noticing.
Right.
Right now, we can carry you, so at least you wouldn't bear that expense.
Right.
We would also have to renegotiate.
I don't know. That's what's like the
settlement agreement required them to satisfy the rear of the house.
Which they did.
They finished. Should have left the front of the house alone.
Also, the front. The
settlement agreement also states that the front of the house will have decks below
right.
The deck.
You do have decks. You have decks.
They want it also enclosed. I'm just going to take off the ADB, or we're going to push it back.
No. So it just seems like from the board that there are alternatives that could satisfy just by moving the house or reposition that could satisfy both lands. And
I think if you move the house back, you're going to upset land.
Well, that's a discussion.
I think you should just eliminate the deck in the front and keep the two decks they have out there and leave it the way it was.
Well, that's my guess.
But I'm not allowed to advise you.
Well, it's not advice.
I'm taking your advice. I'm trying to take your advice.
Needs the opportunity to take a look at this.
Yeah, I just guess by legally, a little confusing. If the parties couldn't agree on something, then it would just, I guess, be reopened in the appellate division with the original approval, and then it would just continue based upon the original plans, or we come back upon notice, and if we can agree on an amended site plan and configure it and have a written agreement updated.
I think the real issue is the trigger becomes a 25-foot setback. So if there's something you can do to eliminate that potential variance, then you'd be able to move forward.
I think based upon the comments from the board, I've been waiting a long time, but it's probably the best thing.
To continue to
carry it, if the notice can be made today, and then see what we do.
They're not in December, so we have to go to the first meeting in January. Have you already published the calendar?
Not yet.
No. So why don't we carry them to the reorganization meeting at that point?
I think that's 111.
Yeah. So with your consent, we would carry you to January 11th of 2022. So anybody who's in the audience who has concerns about this, please know that moving forward, there will be no further public notice on this. It's not required. The next hearing date will be January 11th of 2022 at 7:30. Please check the website for further updates or on the situation. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
Will we not get to say anything?
No. Well,
it would be nice to know how
to we'll have a public portion in general to the meeting.
Once the meeting concludes, you'll be able for the next hearing. We're going to welcome the public up to make public comments at that time, because at this point they have not concluded their testimony or their application. So the appropriate time for public comments will be at that time.
Just a question of two frames and one example. A question on the procedure that we're going to have to come back to us for
another
agreement.
He's going to talk to you off the record.
Well, I can talk to you. Thank you.
He'll talk for our attorney.
Okay. Is there any other business before the board this evening? Is there anyone in the public that has business before the board this evening? Not on that one. If not, the public portion is closed. We need a motion to adjourn. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all for coming.
You got it.